Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. I want to thank you for listening to this podcast from Connecting Faith. There are many more podcasts available at our website, myfaithradio.com. And your support makes this possible.
Real conversations about how we live out our faith every day. Welcome to Connecting Faith.
I heard Chuck Swindoll say once something to the effect, many people grow old in Christ, but not as many people grow up in Christ. And today we're going to find out about how we can grow in our faith by studying God's Word on our own. Now, Chuck's written a new book called Searching the Scriptures, Finding the Nourishment Your Soul Needs. And we're going to discover what nourishment looks like today on Connecting Faith.
I always appreciate Chuck Swindoll. You know, before working here, Neil, I worked at a nonprofit youth ministry organization, and every morning my office mate and I would listen to Chuck Swindoll before we turned over to sports talk or music or anything else. We had to have our time with Chuck.
I'm the same way. I spent the last 30 years more or so listening, making a point to listen to Chuck Swindoll, and I think a lot of us have really grown in our faith. In fact, you know, for those of you that were part of our support team this past week during our fall share, know that, you know, your gifts make possible great ministries like Chuck Swindoll over the three decades that he's been sharing this great insight for living with us.
He's really inspirational, and if you have been touched by his ministry or other teachers here on the station, you can still give, right? At 877-93-FAITH. Maybe you were out of town last week and missed our fall share. 877-933-2484. Press the number 3 or online, myfaithradio.com.
Well, I want to just say thank you for your support, and I hope that you enjoy the conversation today as we learn from one of our favorite teachers.
And Chuck is standing by right now, so here we go with Chuck Swindoll.
Well, we're so honored to spend some time talking with Chuck Swindoll in the next few minutes. Of course, we've enjoyed Chuck's Bible teaching for many years here on Faith Radio, and he's been kind of one of the cornerstones of our broadcast day. And many of us have grown up, grown up listening to Chuck Swindoll. Chuck's founder and senior pastor and teacher of Stonebriar Community Church now in Frisco, Texas. And, of course, his listening audience extends far beyond the local church with insight for living, spreading all around the globe, actually. Chuck served as president, now chancellor of Dallas Theological Seminary, and he and his wife, Cynthia, a partner in ministry of 4 grown children, 10 grandchildren, and 6 great-grandchildren. And the reason we're talking today is because Chuck has written a new book, which really maybe represents, you know, kind of his operating method, if you will. It's out from Tyndale. It's called Searching the Scriptures, Find the Nourishment Your Soul Needs. And Chuck, I guess to welcome, first of all, to start out, this probably is just more kind of how you do Bible study, isn't it?
Yes, it is, Neil. Matter of fact, people will often say, "How do you do that?" You know, I look at that and I don't see those things, and when you talk on them, that suddenly it makes sense and it comes to life. And how do you do it? And over the years, I keep hearing the question, "How do you do that? How do you do that?" I decided, you know, it's time that I just simply describe the process and take away all the mystery. You know, people sometimes have the idea that you go into a room and God sort of speaks to you when you walk in that room and you get his message and you walk out and deliver it. It isn't that way at all. And the process is really not that complicated. But for some people, it can be intimidating because they haven't gone to a school or haven't taken original languages, and maybe they haven't known the Lord that long, and they think, I guess I'm not called to do this kind of thing. But if you can read English and if you have a Bible, you've got the basic tools to get the job done. That's really what my book is about, how to search the Scriptures in a way that makes sense, that's simple, easy to do, take some time, but the benefits are marvelous.
You compare searching the Scriptures to preparing healthy meals, which is just the more you kind of unfold in the book. It's a wonderful metaphor. Just talk about the similarities there.
Yes, yes. Well, thanks for noticing that. I thought I needed a word picture, and I needed one that would fit whatever the culture. And it occurred to me that everybody has to eat. And most of us have to, at least every once in a while, prepare our own meals. So that's one of the signs of growing up. We used to say that to our children. One of the ways you know you're growing up is you're able to fix your own meals. And, of course, clean up after it. But when you prepare your own meals, you start by finding the food. And you, of course, have to shop for that. It takes a recipe that you have in mind. Takes a shopping list. You get the ingredients. You come home, and then you go through the process of cleaning the vegetables and chopping them up, looking at the recipe, following the direction as you prepare the meal. And then afterwards, of course, you serve it. You serve the feast. So the three parts of my book are finding the food, what's involved in that, preparing the meal, and third, serving the feast. And then I end with a little bon appetit as we talk about the benefits of a wonderful meal that's been prepared. And I found, Neil, that the more people prepare their own meals, the deeper their walk with Christ. And the less they have to depend on others to tell them what they believe. That's a very important thing. It also gives you discernment. You begin to realize, oh, what you're hearing isn't true, or what somebody is telling you doesn't square with the scriptures. How do you know that? You've been digging into it on your own. It's kind of the taste test. You can. In fact, the Lord says that. Taste and see that the Lord is good. When you have prepared well, and by that, but believe me, Neil, I don't mean hours and hours every day. Nobody has that kind of time. But if you can give 20 to 30 minutes of your time, most people spend that much time drinking a cup of coffee in the morning. If you can give 15, 20, 30 minutes to just taking a few verses and reading them carefully, repeatedly, slowly, thoughtfully, and then go through the process I describe, you can really build toward a life of maturity. It really does pay off. Plus, you will nourish your soul like nothing else will nourish you.
You know, reading, I think, you know, many of us have some good habits in reading, but we probably don't dig in much deeper. And you made a quote that caught my attention. Said the Bible doesn't yield its treasures to the lazy soul. Say a little bit more about that.
Yeah. Well, that was a saying I picked up from one of my profs that people would know up there where you live. His name was Howie Hendricks, Dr. Howie Hendricks. We called him Prof. Hendricks. Taught a course called Bible Study Methods. And he would say that, he would give that statement often. And what he was saying was, you don't have to be a Bible scholar. You don't really have to know Hebrew and Greek. You honestly don't. You don't have to go to a Bible school, a Bible college. Those things are good, but you don't have to do that in order to get into the scriptures. But you cannot lazily go from a verse here to a verse there, or open your Bible and put your finger on a verse and claim that verse for today. That's a lazy way to take in the scriptures. You don't read an article like that from a magazine. You don't read a book like that. You start and you read it carefully, line after line. I think I have to say here, you give up what you learned in your speed reading class. This is not speed reading. People that are good students of the scriptures don't hurry through the scriptures. They take their time. Like a cow chewing on the cud, you chew on the verses. You go over them. Now, Neil, I have read sections of scripture to prepare for a message 20 times. 20 times. I'll read from another version. I'll read it aloud. I'll read it quietly. I'll read a verse and pause, and then go to the next verse and pause. Then I'll go back and read that first one again, and the next, and pause. Because I'm not in a hurry. If you're lazy, you want something really quick. You go to the fast food store, you buy a hamburger, you choke it down, and you're on your way. You may fill your stomach with something, but you weren't nourishing your body. To do that, you have to take your time, prepare the meal very carefully, very methodically. And it takes one of those dirty words that start with a D, discipline, which is the opposite of laziness. It does require some personal discipline to do what I've described. Not a lot, but some. Like anything else, you learn to tie your shoes by repeating over and over and over again. You learn to button your buttons on your shirt by doing it over and over again. I don't know why people have the idea that the Bible sort of drifts into your head because you own a copy of the Scriptures. It doesn't drift anywhere. You read it. You apply simple principles as you read it, and you draw from it what it is saying. Now, you don't do that if you're lazy. That's why I repeated that statement several times.
Well, we're going to, in the moments ahead, dive into some of those simple steps, and yet it can profoundly change the way we understand, the way we search the Scriptures, and the goal, as the subtitle of the book suggests, is find the nourishment your soul needs. We're talking with Chuck Swindoll, of course, heard daily on Inside for Living. He's the senior pastor, teacher, Stonebriar Community Church, Frisco, Texas, talking about his new book, Searching the Scriptures. This is Connecting Faith, and we'll talk more with Chuck in just a moment. This is Connecting Faith. We've connected with Chuck Swindoll today and just honored to be able to spend some time with him talking about the Scriptures, something that is near and dear to his heart. He's been preaching and teaching for many decades, and we've been honored to grow in our faith with his teaching on Inside for Living. He's now pastor, senior pastor, teacher at Stonebriar Community Church in Frisco, Texas, serves as chancellor of Dallas Theological Seminary, and much of this new book, Searching the Scriptures, comes out of a lot of the principles he learned while at Dallas. And Chuck, before we dive into that, I was just thinking, you know, as you talked about God's Word, the Scriptures, the Bible, I mean, sometimes I think we take it so lightly, and say a word about the reality of this living document. This is not just you know, 66 interesting books compiled together.
Well, that's a great lead question into a very important subject. The Bible is like no other book. No other book is alive. No other book can you tear a page out of, put into a bottle when you're at sea, plug it up, throw it in the water, and that bottle makes its way to shore at some island or some mainland. Somebody picks it up, pulls that page from that bottle. That page is alive. It has information that is living, active, sharper than a sword. It can cut where no surgeon's scalpel will ever reach. A surgeon never does surgery on the soul. The Bible does. A surgeon is not able to deal with an attitude. The Bible does. A surgeon is not able to touch motivation or what drives a person to do what he does. The Bible does. No surgeon can do work in the realm of sin, disobedience. The Bible does. I could go on and on and on. I've come to realize in these many years that there isn't a major issue in life – the Bible ignores. Not one. Not a single one. And if you search deep enough, you'll find truth to address that particular issue. Now, that's true of no other book, and I've read some great books. Pilgrim's Progress is one of the great ones. I've read great books about the Bible. They're not living books. They're not active books. Only the Bible. And able to cut to even down deep within the soul and the spirit of a person. So when we're dealing with the scriptures, you're dealing with a book that's able to, you'd swear it reads your mail. You'd be sure it's been looking in your window because it tells you, it reveals to you the things about yourself that you aren't even willing to admit. And it puts it right there in print. It's amazing. It's called the conviction of the Holy Spirit. God takes his word through his spirit and addresses issues in my life, your life, others' lives, like nothing else. And when he does, he exposes the truth. And then he doesn't leave you there. He says, now here's what you do to correct that, to deal with that. So there is instruction, there is reproof, there is correction, there's direction in the scriptures. And when you talk about the Bible, you say those things about that book that you cannot say about any other book. And I'm a lover of books, but there's no other book like the Bible.
Well, we want to dive in and learn that to search the scriptures to get the nourishment that it contains, and you've set forth the kind of four major steps to effectively search the scriptures. Let's just review those, and we can kind of expand on each one of them as we go along.
I'll be glad to do it. Step one is observation, and it means just what I've said. You observe what the Bible is saying. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Stop. Stop and think. Who is the one that gave his Son? It's God. And what did he give? He gave his one and only Son. I am observing what it says. Now, that's a process that takes time, as much time as you want to give it. You're not reading into it what you want it to say. You're observing from it what is in print. You're drawing from the text, the lines of Scripture. Now, the next step is interpretation. Observation is, what does the Bible say? Interpretation is, what does that mean? What does it mean that God gave his one and only Son? What does it mean that we will never perish? Perish from what? Or perish instead of what? What does this mean for God to give us his Son? You get into the meaning of the passage by asking questions, which I've done. That we may have eternal life. What is eternal life? What does that mean? That's interpretation. Now, the third is correlation. It's a word we're not too familiar with. So let me explain it. What does the Bible say elsewhere? If the Bible says what I just quoted in John 3:16, it says something like it in John 1:12. As many as received him, to them he gave the authority to become the children of God, even to those who believe in his name. Oh, it says believe in his name. John 3:16, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever, there's the word, believes. You're looking at the word in another verse of scripture. Now, why do you do that? To keep one verse from giving you the whole thought that you have this doctrine understood. You need the balance of various verses of scripture. You compare this with that, or you look for a contrast. There are passages that talk about those who don't believe. You may choose to look into that. So you correlate verses with verses, scriptures with scripture. And after observing, interpreting, and correlating, you come to the crowning part of Bible searching or Bible study, and that's applying, which answers the question, what does it mean to me? How does that speak to me? Or if I'm teaching a class or speaking to a congregation, what does it mean to others? Well, it means that I am loved by God. God loves me. Last Sunday morning, I was in Romans 8, and I had our congregation repeat after me that great verse, if God be for us, who could be against us? Remember that?
Yeah.
God is for us. And I had everybody say it. Let's say that together. God is for us. And I said, now stop right now and think. Most people think God is against me. That God's sort of roaming around heaven looking for somebody to club or to condemn. That's not the God of the Bible. God loves us. Now, I have applied the verse of Scripture. When you go through observing, interpreting, correlating, and applying a verse or a few verses of Scripture, Neil, you grow. You become mature. You start fixing your own meals.
We're talking
which
to
gives you nourishment for your soul.
We're talking with Chuck Swindoll about how to nourish our souls by searching the Scriptures, and we've just laid out a very basic outline that could change our lives. Truly it can. It's been something that Chuck has applied throughout his life and inviting us to do so as well. We're talking about his new book, Searching the Scriptures, Find the Nourishment Your Soul Needs. And we're going to continue this conversation in just a moment because there's a lot more to talk about, and I hope you're enjoying the opportunity to just hear Chuck draw us into God's Word in a deeper way. In the moments ahead here, you're listening to Connecting Faith. Chuck Swindoll is, of course, a teaching pastor on Insight for Living and the founder and senior pastor teacher at Stonebriar Community Church in Frisco, Texas, Chancellor of Dallas Theological Seminary, and you're listening to Connecting Faith. This is Connecting Faith. I'm Neil Stavem, and honored today to have the opportunity to talk with Chuck Swindoll. And we're talking about his new book, Searching the Scriptures, Finding the Nourishment Your Soul Needs. And it really, it's a new book, but it really represents much of the life work that, that Chuck has done over the years. And we've just gone through steps to understanding that process. And I'm thinking, Chuck, maybe just to dive back a little bit, it seems like we oftentimes rush to interpretation without stopping to observe. You gave an illustration when you were in seminary of having to write down a list of, you know, what, 50 observations.
Oh,
which,
yes.
Which
yes.
would just seem, that would stretch, yeah, stretch us a lot.
That, Neil, Howie Hendricks had all of the class go to their homes, their apartments or wherever, and sit down with Acts 1:8. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and you know the verse. Well, he said, I want you to come up with 50 observations. My first thought was, good night. How can I ever get 50 things from that. Well, I did. And I worked on it. Maybe it took me 30, 40 minutes, but I came up with my list, and the other classmates did. We went back the next class, and he said, let's see your list, and we showed him it all. And he said, all right, tonight go home and get 50 more. Well, I thought I'd pass out. That I thought is impossible. But you know what? Before we were through, he reminded us we have an infinite text. God's word is exhaustless. And Neil, I got 50 more. In fact, I went on to 65 more and could have gotten more if I'd taken the time. You're right. We hurry to interpretation too quickly. That leads to where the cults are. They don't read what the text really says. They're quick to tell you what it means. And when I hear a cultic teacher, I know he has not really, or she has not really read carefully what the Bible says. That is so basic to a good knowledge of the scriptures. We used to have Dr. Mitchell from Portland, Oregon, bless his heart. He's gone now, but what a Bible teacher, Dr. John Mitchell. He was from Scotland, and he would say to us, read your Bible. Read your Bible. Man, read your Bible. We were all men at that time at the seminaries. Now, co-ed school, and that's great. But back then, we were all men. Read your Bible, men. He was not a great student of the Hebrew or the Greek. And he would tell you that. He knew his English Bible because he had read John, I think, 75, 80 times before he taught it. Listen to that. He read that book 75, 80 times. We had Dr. Woodbridge as one of our teachers, and he said to us, before you finish these 2 weeks with me, I want you to have read, and he named the letter of Paul that he wanted us to read. It happened to be Colossians. I want you to read it every day for 30 days. I want you to read the letter to the Colossians for 30 days. He was teaching a two-week course, and he said, I'll be gone before you finish, but I want you to do. He said, let me promise you something. Two things will happen. Number one, your Bible will automatically open to the letter to the Colossians. About that was a funny line. You open it every day, every day, every day. It puts a crease in your Bible. But he said, secondly, you will know what the letter to the Colossians is saying. Not so much what it means, but you'll know what Paul wrote. You know, when we're training our children, one of the frequent lines we give them is, what did I just say? Now, I told you this. What did I just say? You know, before you can play this evening, you got to do your homework. That's what I said. Now, tell me what I said. Well, you told me before I'd go out and play, I've got to do my homework. Okay. What does that mean? And so we go through the same process. Now, it all starts with what does it say? Now, Neil, when you are a student of the scriptures, people observe that. They discover you know something about this book. Now, you don't have a little badge that says I read the Bible every day or I've been teaching for 20 years. People know when they're around you. You know, your blood is bibline, as one man writes. You think in biblical terms. You talk in biblical principles. People often say you're like a walking Bible. It's not that you're a fanatic, but it gets into your soul. Now, I'm going somewhere with this. When that's true, it isn't too long before you really want to share it. Which is why the end of my book addresses serving the feast. You want to serve it to yourself when you see what's there, and to others when you have the opportunity. I serve the feast every Sunday at our church. I serve what I've been preparing through the week and through previous weeks. I'm serving it for them. Paul served a feast on Mars Hill. He stood before Agrippa, and he served a feast. Peter served a feast when he, when Acts chapter 2, went into the street and told all of these people about what the Holy Spirit had done there in that upper room and how they could know the same Christ that had changed their lives. You're serving it for others. So the great thing about this nourishing your soul, you can't keep it to yourself.
Yeah.
It isn't long before you have to share it. And God opens doors, and it's amazing. You're not sharing your opinions. You're sharing the living truth of the Bible. But you couldn't do it if you didn't fix your own meals. I rarely share what someone else teaches me. What I share is what I've dug out for myself, what I've discovered. The jewels or the nuggets I've mined in the time I've spent doing it. And that's what makes a person an original teacher. You're not just mouthing somebody else's prepared food. This is your recipe. This is what you have prepared. And that's what makes it unique and gives you excitement, because you've dug it out for yourself. Doesn't that make good sense?
Oh, it's so encouraging, and so it can happen naturally. I think we, you know, a lot of us think, well, we're we stop at that last step about sharing it with others, and yet if we've done our observation and interpretation, correlation and
right.
application,
right.
then it's going to be a natural.
Right, you're exactly right. If you have done your homework, it's like you've read a particular book. You've dug through it. I read one recently called The Explorers. Fascinating book. And in that book, he gives the 7 traits of every explorer. I memorized them because they're so helpful. Curiosity, hope, passion, courage, independence, self-discipline, perseverance. I memorized the list from that book. Now, what's exciting, having dug that out of that book, I then am able to apply that to areas of life and to share that application. I didn't just read the page to someone else. I'm sharing it in my own way, and I'm excited about sharing it because I found how it applies to everyday life. And the Bible is like that. That's why the people in the days of Jesus, when they were around him, and no one knew the scriptures like he did, well, caught it. There's an old Scottish saying, some things are better felt than felt. When you feel these things, when you catch these things from another's life, it's contagious. The enthusiasm rubs off, and you just can't stay the same. That happens after I've spent some time in God's Word. My wife will say to me, you're a different guy tonight than you were this morning at breakfast. I think it's a veiled criticism. Said in love, you weren't too much fun to be with this morning. But as a result of today, something's happened. And you know what happened that day? I was in the Word of God that day. And it changed my attitude. It altered my reactions. It softened my words. It gave me a gentleness, an understanding that I didn't have early on that day. God's Word does that. You see, what I'm doing here in this book, I'm not trying to force feed anybody. Force feeding results in vomiting. It makes you sick. But if you, in your own time, chew your food, enjoy the taste, swallow it, enjoy a nice cool glass of water with it or whatever may be the beverage, you are nourished. You pick up energy. You pick up motivation. Your mind stays alert. It changes your whole perspective. And problems don't become issues. They become opportunities for God to work. How do you know that? Because you found in the scriptures, God loves opportunities that baffle us and make us trust him. Another book I read this summer was The Obstacle is the Way. It's a great book, great concept. We face obstacles, and we often look for ways around them. No. In God's word, you learn how to work through them. Remember the verse? No temptation has taken you but such as is common to man. God is faithful. He will not suffer you to be tempted, but will help you go through the temptation that you may be able to bear it. You go through the experience. By the way, by spending time in God's word, you gain moral strength. You're not as tempted as you used to be. Your mind is more disciplined than it once was. See, this book is alive, Neil. It's alive. And it can change your whole set of habits and perspective on life. That's why I've realized I need to write a book that helps people know how to fix their own meals. Because when you do, I'm going to say this nicely, you don't need your pastor to fix the meal for you as much as you used to. Now, you appreciate his message, and you should. You respect him for delivering it, but you don't need it to survive. You're fixing your own meals. Now, I'm disturbed when the only intake people have is from me. They're eating my prepared food. They need to digest it for themselves. And I tell you, when you do, oh my, it makes you appreciate all the more when someone else gives you information that they have dug out. It just changes everything.
Talking to Chuck Swindoll today, we're talking about, you know, just as our body needs nourishing food to grow, so our soul needs nourishment, and we find it when we search the scriptures. Chuck Swindoll, a senior pastor and teacher at Stonebriar Community Church in Frisco, Texas, and of course heard on Insight for Living Daily here on Faith Radio, and he's our guest today on Connecting Faith, and we'll come back with a couple more questions in just a moment. Been having a great conversation today with Chuck Swindoll, talking about his new book, Searching the Scriptures, which really is just some important, basic, fundamental things like cooking your own, preparing your own meal. You need to, you have a recipe and you follow it, you have the right tools, and eventually you get to serve the meal, which is the objective. But Chuck, one of the things that you point out, and I know you've done this over the years, too, is that the little words can easily get overlooked, words like but or in or maybe if. Say a bit about maybe some tips for not skipping over the little words.
Oh, yeah. You've landed on one of my favorite subjects. I invariably will do that when I'm preaching. I will say, let's look at this verse in John 3:16. For God so, stop right there. See the word for that it starts with? It's called a connective. And anytime you see the word F-O-R in our English Bible, You could read it because. Or, let me explain. Which means you need to look above that 16th verse in John 3 to see what he's explaining. And you go back and you put the verse in its context. Now, there's another one. But you shall receive power. Wait. Stop right there. Acts 1:8 starts with but. That's a connective of contrast. So there's something in this that is different from what came before. It's a connective. It's like a link in the chain. So you need to go back and pull that chain up to where the other verse is that's contrasting to this verse. There's a reason this verse starts with but instead of and or for. These connectives are very important as you interpret the Bible. So here again, Neil, I want to drive home to forget all about speed reading when you're reading your Bible. You gain nothing at the end of a day by saying, I read 38 chapters today. How much better to say, I spent 38 minutes on three verses of Scripture today. You know why that's better? Because you began to digest what you were chewing on for those 38 minutes. You don't digest anything when you force feed 38 chapters. All you're really focusing on is the clock. That's all you're thinking about, getting it all read in this brief period of time. I don't know where we got the idea that that will make you spiritually self-sustaining. That'll really confuse you. Furthermore, it wastes your time. Honestly, it does. If you try to read too much, you don't remember any of it. Or you remember very little of it, but you don't connect it. You don't see the theme that the writer had in mind. You don't know what burden he was dealing with. You don't know what concern he had or question he was answering because you raced through it. So those little words deliberately slow me down. Therefore is another one. It's a summary connective. Therefore is our way of saying, now let me summarize. Or, in light of all that we have just heard, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, all things have become new. Therefore, it begins. It's a summary verse. So, when you read your Bible, you learn to watch like a good detective. You look for clues. Sometimes it's an abrupt beginning. Okay, there's a reason it began abruptly. I'm up in my study. Cynthia will hear me reading out loud often because my ears need to hear what my eyes are seeing and my mouth is saying. So I'm engaging three senses, not just my eyes. But I'm forming the words with my mouth, and I'm hearing them with my ears, having seen them with my eyes. You see, the book is all about taking your time as you prepare this great meal. Nobody has a stopwatch on you. We're not at the Olympics trying to set a new world record in how quickly you can read the book of Acts. Tell me how long you spent in Acts, and I'll pretty well tell you how well you know it. If you told me you spent a day in it, I can tell you pretty much the level of your understanding. If you spent the last 6 months in the book of Acts, I'm ready to listen to what you can teach me, because you got a lot of information from that living book of Acts that I don't know, because I didn't spend the last 6 months in that book like you did. Get the thrust of this?
Yeah. So,
get the idea?
So rich.
When you really get into it, you're not in a hurry. It's like spending time with someone you love. You're not in a hurry to end the time you're with them. You want to be with them as long as you can, because you love being with them. They're a living human being. And that's this book. It's alive and it's powerful. If I don't quit, I'm going to start preaching.
Yeah, well, I'm going to ask you one, and you know, we love that. So, but let me ask you one more question, because because we've taken up your time. I know I'm grateful for, but you quote C.S. Lewis in the book Searching the Scriptures. Say, you know, there's a need for educated believers to counter the bad philosophy of the world, and you know, we certainly have plenty of bad ideas around us. But does that mean we all have to become scholars or philosophy majors? Just maybe encourage us, for those who say, you know, this isn't a natural thing for me, perhaps.
Well, I'm glad you asked that. There aren't many C.S. Lewis's that have ever lived, and we all admire him. Now, very few people are called to be great defenders of the faith. Now, we ought to all be able to defend what we believe, but we're not called to be what's called those who specialize in apologetics. I just talked to a man who does, and that's his world, and that's what he does. He helps people defend the faith. C.S. Lewis did the same thing. You have to have a mind for it. You have to have the training for it. You have to have the education for it. You have to have spent the time dealing with it. You have to know what the arguments are. You have to have a logical way of thinking. All of this is a part of the giftedness of the apologete. And there aren't many, in light of the mass number of people that make up this world. But we're grateful for those who give us a strong defense, because there are those who are out there trying to tear away at people's faith, and we need those scholars to address those individuals and meet them on their same terms. So, I hope this has helped.
Yeah, the good news, I guess, is that as we apply Paul's word, you know, let God's word dwell in us richly. I mean, we are going to grow and mature in our faith in ways that we probably couldn't even begin to comprehend.
Absolutely. And you know what I tell people? What you hear on Insight for Living is the result of observation, interpretation, correlation, application. If my program has encouraged you, it's because I've spent time digging into the Word and preparing the meals to deliver, to serve on Insight for Living. I am no great shakes. I am not that impressive, personally. I am not that bright, but I am determined to fix my own meals and to serve them as best I can.
We're grateful that you've given your life and energy to that, and challenge us to do the same.
It's been great to visit with you.
Likewise. Blessings to you, and hope to chat with you again soon. And thanks for all that you do.
And my best to all of your listeners. It's great to be with all of you.
We've had the honor of talking with Chuck Swindoll. You hear him daily on Insight for Living here on Faith Radio. He's the founder and senior pastor teacher of Stonebriar Community Church in Frisco, Texas, chancellor of Dallas Theological Seminary. And we've been talking about his latest book, Searching the Scriptures, Find the Nourishment Your Soul Needs. I encourage you to check out this interview. We'll post it online on the Connecting Faith show page at myfaithradio.com. You're listening to Connecting Faith.